you to take the Word of God and please turn to the book of Joshua chapter 24. The book of Joshua chapter number 24. We've been studying through the book of Joshua for a long time together, and we've come to the final chapter of Joshua chapter 24. This might be the final sermon. I'm not sure yet until I get to verse 29 all the way down through verse number 33. But we'll be preaching on verses 1 to 28 today, line by line, word by word. I'm talking about every word, preach a while on it, take another word. I'm just kidding with you folks, okay. Yes, loosen up a little bit around here, amen. Appreciate you being here. Not a bad crowd, considering. And let me remind you again, no service tonight. Cantata, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Changing service times in January. A lot of things going on, and we trust the Lord will bless every part of it. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 14. The Bible says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve ye the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I want to preach to you on this subject, Joshua's dying message. Joshua's dying message. Now that sounds familiar because that's also chapter 23. That was the title of chapter 23 as well. In chapters 23 and 24, the setting we have is Joshua is dying. This is his last message, if you will. So in these last two chapters, I've given it the same title, Joshua's dying message. Now let's pray together, and I want to share this thought with you. Father, we love you, and I pray that you help me to preach. Thank you for the good Sunday school hour and the great thought that was brought out for our attention, that you do look at our work and you know all about it. And Father, that we shouldn't be in it for others, we should be in it for you. And that our work will be rewarded one way or the other. Lord, I pray that you keep that before us now. Bless this message here this morning. Bless all those people who chose to come this day. Bless them now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, any time a person is coming to the end of their life, knowing that their days are few, no doubt they'll choose their words wisely. As a matter of fact, they'll say the things that are closest to their heart, realizing that their words are running out. Now, this is the scene that we have beginning back in chapter 23 and extending through this chapter here in our text today. One of God's great leaders, matter of fact, one of his greatest leaders, if you ask me, is nearing the end of his journey. And God has been good to him. And God has used him in a mighty way. But now he's dying. And the Lord has seen fit to let us listen in on his last message. Now in chapter 23, we've already heard his recognition, if you will. Some of you will remember this. We heard his instruction and we heard his caution. But now we come to chapter 24 and he's continuing with this message. And we see our Lord has given Joshua a message to deliver on his deathbed. In other words, this is not Joshua's message in reality, it's God's. That's found in verse number 2 where he says, "Thus saith the Lord God." So Joshua, as he's dying, is speaking on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he's on his deathbed, if you will, we can hear five more things. We've already seen three of them. We've already heard three of them. I hear five more things in this chapter right here. Now I want to dig in right here because I want to help you be a blessing to you. Number one, as we listen to this message today and we're continuing, it's actually point four if you go back to chapter 23, but it's our first point today. As we listen in, number one today, we hear a certainty to remember. A certainty to remember. Now you say, what's this mean? Now at this time, Israel is standing in the promised land. And there's many victories that's behind them. No doubt this is a dangerous time for these people. Because see, there was a danger that they would forget where they came from. How they had gotten to where they were and what the Lord had done for them. There was the danger at this time, if you will, when things were calmed down and the victories were won. And all the there was a danger, if you will, that they would begin to adopt the idolatrous religion of the Canaanites who still lived in that land. There was a danger that they would fall into a state of complacency.
A state in which they might feel they could let down their guard just a little bit. These, no doubt, were dangerous days for Israel. They're standing here. The land has been conquered. God has been good to them. And they're standing there in a dangerous place. And these people could be tempted to think too highly of themselves. No doubt about it. After all, the great victories that were won, didn't they have part of it? I mean, maybe they were beginning to think too highly of themselves, but now Joshua speaks on behalf of the Lord and reminds them of something that they needed to remember. He was giving them a certainty to remember. And that certainty was this: it was all God, none of you. As a matter of fact, notice with me in verse number 3. Now notice in verse number 2, Joshua said, "Thus saith the Lord God." So God is speaking through Joshua. Look at the language in verse number 3. Notice it. "And I took." Look at verse number 4. "And I gave." And then further down, "And I gave." Look at verse number 5. "I sent Moses." Skip on down. "I plagued Egypt." Skip on down. "I did among them." Look at verse number 6. "I brought your fathers out of Egypt." Look at verse number 7. Right here, the latter part. "I have done in Egypt." Look at verse number 8. "I brought you into the land of the Amorites." Halfway in it, "I gave them into your hand." The latter phrase, "I destroyed them before you." Look at verse number 10. "I would not hearken unto Balaam." Look at the latter phrase, "I delivered you out of his hand." Look at verse number 11. The latter phrase, "I delivered them into your hand." Look at verse number 12. "I sent the hornet before you." Look at verse number 13. "I have given you a land." Any questions? What's God saying through Joshua here? Joshua's saying this: you look around you, you see all these victories. You look at everything that's taking place. Don't you look in the mirror and say how good you are. You ought to look up and say how good God is. God's been good to you. That's what he's saying right here. He's given them a certainty to remember. No doubt about it. In verses 2 through 13, we see that God's power was in their lives. They were reminded about how God chose them and called them as a nation, and how he redeemed them and delivered them from Egypt, and how he manifested his power and his glory on their behalf. Time and time again, they're reminded of the victories that they had enjoyed and the blessings that they had been given because God's power was in their lives. He reminded them of his presence in their life, that right here, he was always with them. In everything they faced, he was there with them. He was helping them and he was seeing them through. He reminded them of his provision in their lives. I'm talking about how he took care of them. They didn't deserve that, but in a nutshell, here it is. The first thing we hear Joshua right here in this message in chapter 24, he's given a certainty to remember. He's saying, "I don't want you to forget this. It is all about God. It's God's doing. It's not your doing." He's saying this: God has been good to you. And let me say here that nothing moves the heart like remembering God's grace in times of need. Nothing moves the heart like remembering God's guidance in difficulties. Nothing moves the heart like remembering the power of God to give you great victories. Nothing moves the heart like God's patience when we're weak and when we're tempted. And let me say this to you: just as God had been good to Israel, he's been pretty good to us too. From saving those who call upon him, to providing his children's needs, to helping his own down the road of life, God has been good. It's all about him, every bit of it. Psalm 73:1 says, "Truly, God is good." I like that verse. Truly, God is good. The first thing we hear, this mighty soldier of God, the first thing we hear, it's the fourth thing really when you go back to chapter 23, but it's the first thing today in chapter 24. He's saying, "I want to make one thing clear. This is all about God." What a man. Number one, you hear a certainty to remember. Number two, we hear a charge to obey. We see this in verse number 14. Look at it. "Now therefore," anytime you see the word "therefore," look and see why it's therefore. He's saying, because God's been good to you, because God's given you victories and he's shown his presence in your life and he's provided for you and he's protected you because God has brought you to this point in your life. Now, therefore, here it is. Here's the charge to keep. Fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and truth and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Do you see the threefold charge here? He's saying this. He's turning his message into a therefore message. In other words, because the Lord has been so good to you, now here's how you need to respond. Number one, fear him. Fear God. You know what that word fear means? It means to revere, to show a reverence for, a respect for. And let me say this to you. This respect for God is missing all over our world. From our government, to our churches even, to our homes, to our lives, this fear of God is missing. And what we need is a good dose of the fear of God. And let me tell you what gives you the fear of God when you contemplate how good he's been in your life. You realize where you were, where you still could be, how God's brought you through, brought you to things, and he's been good to you. That ought to cause you to say, boy, I respect him. I revere him. Whatever he says to me, I'll say yes because I fear my God. Let me tell you something. This same charge about fearing God is found in 1 Peter 2:17. Revelation 14:7, Proverbs 23:17, Deuteronomy 6:13 and 24, Deuteronomy 10:12 and 20, 1 Samuel 12:24, Psalm 22:23, Psalm 33:8, Proverbs 3:7, Deuteronomy 8:6, Deuteronomy 13:4, Psalm 34:9, Matthew 10:28, Luke chapter 12, verse 5, and I'm telling you, it is God's will for you and I to stand in awe of him, to reverence him, to fear him. And when you truly fear God, it'll show up in the way you live your life. No doubt about it. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Number one, the first charge to obey is fear the Lord. Number two, serve the Lord. We see this in verse 14. Now notice this, the Bible says in verse 14, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Boy, that word sincerity is a powerful word. Say, what's it mean? I'm getting to it in just a moment. You know, since the Lord's been good to them, talking about Israel, they should serve him in sincerity. You know what the word sincerity means? It means with integrity, undefiled, without blemish. You know what the word serve means? It means to fulfill the role of a slave. Never forget this statement. You're serving somebody. You are a bond slave to somebody in this life. It may be the devil. It may be yourself. It may be somebody else. But let me tell you what true freedom is. It's tying yourself as a bond slave to Jesus Christ. That's true freedom. And you know what this word sincerity here means? Now stay with me. I'm getting ahead of myself. But we need to understand, right before I get to that, we need to understand that we have been bought with a price if you're saved. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Right here, we're looking at the charge to obey. Hey, the certainty to remember is that you didn't get here on your own. You're not standing here with these victories behind you because you're mighty. You're standing here with all those mighty people falling before you because God fought for you. God gave you this victory. God's been good to you. And because of that, you need to, there's a charge that you need to obey. You need to respond right. You need to fear him. You need to serve him. Now, I told you I was going to tell you what this word sincerity means. I've already defined it, but let me go deeper. The English word sincere comes from two Latin words which means without wax. You say, what in the world does that have to do with anything? Stay with me here. This is powerful. This word was used to refer to the scrupulous pottery dealers who sold first-class pottery. Now get this. That did not have any cracks in it that was fixed or patched with wax. In other words, when patched pottery with wax was held up to the light, you could easily spot the wax. And it told you this is broken. It's been broken. It's not as good as it used to be. Here's what God's saying. He's saying, because I've been good to you, you ought to fear me, then you ought to serve me without wax. He's saying, when I hold you up to the light of my word, and when I hold you up to the light of the Son of God, I don't want to see any cracks in you. I want you to be whole. I want you to give me everything. I don't want somebody broken. I want somebody put together. Now, the great thing about it is, if you have a crack in you today, He doesn't have to use wax to put you together. He can make you brand new. But I'm talking about trying to hide things, trying to hide that and hide that. In other words, oh yes, I'm going to put on a good show here, but in my heart, I know that that's not yielded right there. But I want to make sure it looks good to everybody else. Kind of goes right along with the message this morning. And what am I saying? God's saying, I don't want wax on you. I want you to be sincere. By the way, does He not deserve that? Sure He does. Sure He does. The charge to keep is fear the Lord, serve the Lord. Number three, this is amazing to me. He had to tell him to put away the other gods. That's amazing. You say, what's amazing? Look at everything they had seen God do for them. They had seen, they had seen Him part the Jordan River, the walls of Jericho fall down flat, the city of Ai destroyed after they took care of the secret sin, the Anakims talking about the giants falling down to them. I'm talking about God had been good to them. And yet Joshua on his deathbed says, oh, by the way, those gods you have with you, get rid of them. They still were dealing with idolatry. Still. Amazing. It seems that this wouldn't be the case. It seems that they would automatically turn completely towards the Lord because He had been so good to them. That's what it seems like. But obviously this wasn't the case. Now get this picture. Here the nation of Israel has had God Himself step down out of eternity and fight for them and be good to them and save them from their enemies, take care of them, miraculously provide for them. And when they come down to the end of Joshua's life, Joshua's still having to say, get rid of that. Get rid of that. Sounds a whole lot like American Christianity if you ask me. It really does. It's amazing to me that this is still happening around the world. God's been so good to us, yet we must guard against letting someone or something else take our adoration from Him. It happens all over the place. And you've got things and people in your life, maybe not both, but I guarantee you one or the other, you have something or someone in your life that's trying to take the place of God. Don't let it happen. By the way, it can even be a spouse. Are you listening? I don't know if anybody, I hope it's this way, is stronger on marriage than I am. I'm talking about my preaching, my burden for marriage. But let me tell you something. The greatest thing you can do for your marriage is let God be God. Amen. Don't you put each other above God. That's idolatry. You say, Jody, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. I'm talking about a whole nation that knew the blessing of God and saw God's firsthand accounts. I'm talking about they saw stuff you haven't seen. Anybody seen a river part for you and walk over on dry ground? If you did, you had too much before you went to bed last night, no doubt about it. They saw some things, and they still dealt with idolatry. No wonder 1 John 5:21 says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And it closes with, amen. Deuteronomy 10:12, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Number one, as we hear this dying general, what a message. God is speaking through him. God's dealing through him. He's dying. He knows he's dying. He knows his days are few. And we hear a certainty to remember, it's not you, it's God. We hear a charge to obey because he's been so good to you. Fear him, serve him, and put away the other gods. And number three, we hear a choice to make. We see this in verse 15, where the Bible says, "And if it seem evil to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In this verse, we see that our Lord has made it to where we have a choice whether we will live our lives obeying verse 14 or not. Verse 14 is the charge. Fear him, serve him, put away the gods. Then verse 15 says, oh, by the way, that's your decision to make. You must choose it. You hear a choice to make. In this verse, Joshua explains that they must make the choice to serve the Lord. By the way, my wife and I's children, Justin and Jalen, precious little things. Good night. They have me wrapped around that little finger right there 4 or 5 times. Yes, there's enough of me to go around 4 or 5 times. Not lengthwise, but widthwise. Some of you catch that in the morning. But you know, I do not want our children to obey us because they feel they have to. Now, are you listening? They do have to. Everybody catch what I just said? Because there's consequences if they don't. But I am dreaming of the day when they do what their mom and daddy tell them to do because they love us so much they don't want to hurt our heart. God's made the Christian life the same way. He will not force himself on you. He wants you to choose him. Amen. I want to give you some things here, some observations that I see in this text. Let me give you three of them. Number one, you will serve somebody. You will serve somebody. I've already said that, but let me say it again. Whether it's the Lord, self, Satan, or someone else, you will serve somebody. Number two, God deserves our choice. Amen. In other words, he's already deserved for us to choose him. Has he not? Sure he has. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Number three, if the world, get this now, this is from verse 15, because remember Joshua speaking, if the world chooses idols, we can still choose the Lord. I like that. Joshua said, now he's speaking to the nation of Israel in verse number 15. He said, oh, by the way, if it seem evil for you to serve the Lord, choose this day who you will, but I want you to know something. If the whole nation turns against God, me and my family have already made the choice. We will serve the Lord. I like that. He's telling us here and God's showing us that if the whole world goes off, I can still do right, my family can still do right, and God will bless us if he blesses nobody else. Joshua wanted everybody to know that he had already made his choice for himself and his family. They were going to serve God whether anyone else did or not. He was resolved to follow the Lord himself and have his family do the same. In other words, Joshua committed himself to serve the Lord and lead his family to do the exact same thing. By the way, don't be afraid of commitment when it's committing to the right thing, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me speak a minute to the men here. Now, men, I want you to look at me, please. Whether you're married or not, have children or not, but especially if you're married and have children, listen to me. You ought to make up your mind that you are going to serve God yourself and you are going to lead your family to do the same thing. Amen. I'll amen my own preaching. You need to make up your mind, just like Joshua did, if the whole nation turns against God, if the whole world turns against God, I will be true and I'll lead my family to do the same. We need some men with backbones, what I'm trying to say. We need some men with backbone like Daniel. In Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 to 19, it says he purposed in his heart he was not going to defile himself with the king's meat. And he didn't care what the king said. He had his mind made up. God, give us some more Daniels. What about the three Hebrew boys? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar had this idol made up, and anybody didn't bow down to it was going to be cast into the fiery furnace. And they said, let it be known that we will not bow down to that. And our God is able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down to you, and we're not going to bow down to that idol, because God is God in our life. God, give us some more men like that. Amen. Boy, I'm getting happy up here this morning. What am I saying? God, give us men with backbone like Daniel, men with backbone like Joshua, men with backbone like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How about Daniel again with right here King Darius? Signed a decree that nobody could pray to anybody, any god but him. Didn't stop Daniel. He still prayed. They cast him in the lion's den. God shut their mouths. And what I'm saying to you, he didn't know if God's going to shut their mouths, but he wasn't going to turn his back on God. We see here that God's made it that if the world chooses idols, we can choose the Lord. The Lord didn't want partial commitment, but complete commitment. There was a boy who said, when he said this, and I quote, "When I was a boy, my father, a baker, introduced me to the wonders of song. And this one tenor, Pavarotti, relates, he urged me to work very hard to develop my voice. And a professional tenor in his hometown in Italy took him as a pupil. At the same time, he enrolled in a teacher's college. And on graduating, he asked his daddy, he said, 'Daddy, shall I be a teacher or a singer?' Here's what his daddy said. Oh, this is good. He said, 'If you try to sit on two chairs, you'll fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair.' And right here, he says, 'I choose one.' It took me 7 years of study and frustration before I made my first professional appearance. It took another 7 to reach the Metropolitan Opera. And now I think whether it's laying bricks, writing a book, whatever we choose, we should give ourselves to it. Commitment, that's the key. Choose one chair." Too many Christians have the Lord sitting here, a chair, have the world sitting here, and they're trying to sit in both, and they wonder why they're uncomfortable. They wonder why they fall so easily. And they wonder why they end up sitting on the ground when they ought to be sitting in the chair. Let me tell you why. Because they have a split personality, spiritual speaking. God wants every piece of us sitting in his chair. On a recent trip to Haiti, there was a Haitian pastor that illustrates to his congregation the need for total commitment. Now listen to this. A certain man wanted to sell his house for $2,000. Another man wanted very badly to buy this house, but because he was poor, he couldn't afford the full price. So after much bargaining, the owner agreed to sell the house for half the original price with one stipulation. You know what the stipulation was? To let him keep the one nail hanging over the front door. That's it. There was one nail that was driven right above the front door. He said, "I'll give it to you half price if you'll let me keep that one nail right there without pulling it out. That's my stipulation." He said, "Yes, sir, fine." Later on, this man who sold that house wanted the house back. But the man refused to give it to him. But here's what he did. He went out and found a dead dog's carcass. And he hung it on that one nail that he owned. And after a while, the stench was so bad that it forced the people who owned that house to give it back to him. You listening? The devil tells you, "You can have all of it. Just give me one nail, that's it." You give him one nail, he'll take over your life. Joshua said, "I want to make something clear. Me and my house, I don't care if all of you Israelites," and I'm not pointing at you here. I'm just trying to give you. It's like he's saying, "Listen, God's been good to all of us. You ought to fear him, serve him in sincerity and truth, and you ought to put away the gods. But let me tell you something. The choice is up to you. If it seems evil what I'm telling you to do, then go ahead and serve these other gods. But let me tell you something. Let me make it clear. I'm dying, I'm about ready to die here, and I want you to know that me and my house, we have already decided we will serve God." Good night. Wouldn't you love to have been there and hear him say that? I don't think he said, "Oh, me and my house, we gonna serve God." No, I don't think so. I believe he riled himself up.
I believe I can see his finger maybe just curled up with arthritis or so. I don't know, folks. I'm just and saying, I'm gonna tell you one thing. We gonna serve God. God's been too good to me. He's been too good to my family. I'm not gonna turn against him now. There's a choice to make. There's two more things quickly.
Number four, verses 19 and 20, we see there's a caution to understand. Look at verse 19 and 20. Now we may go over just a little bit today, but just stay with me, okay? Because I want to get through this. These next two go fairly quickly here. Look at verse 19. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He'll not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he'll turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he hath done good for you. What a caution. In other words, Joshua said, choose you. And then verse 16, they said, listen, we're not going to forsake God. We're going God's way. Joshua steps up and says, okay, you're committing yourself. Let me give you a warning. If you go back on your commitment, he's going to hurt you. He's saying, just like he helped you, if you commit to him and say, yes, I'm going God's way, he said, if you forsake him, after you make this decision, are you sure you want to make this decision? Because after you make this decision, here's my caution, if you turn from him, he will whip you hard. He cautions them that if they turn back from following the Lord, there'll be a price to pay. And because of his holiness, verse number 19, he will not, here's the bottom line. He's saying because he is holy, he will not tolerate second place. That's what he's saying. Read it for yourself, folks. He will not take second place. Either you give it to him or he'll try to take it. Now, in the same way, listen to me. I'm not trying to talk you out of committing to the Lord, because that's what you ought to do. Because when you commit to him, God will help you. He'll bless your life. And he's not standing there with a lightning rod waiting to strike you down. But I will say this. There are those who say, oh, yeah, I committed to him back there, but I'm going to live my own life now. Watch out. Because if you're truly his child, Hebrews chapter 6 is still in the Bible, he will chastise you. And if you're without chastisement, excuse me, biblical word, you're a bastard. You say that's strong language. I know it is, but I didn't say it. God did. What's he saying? He's saying, if you are my child, it is serious business to turn away from me. You're still in the family, but I'll get your attention. By the way, there's not enough kind of preaching going around, by the way. Everybody says, just feel good about yourself. Just feel good about yourself. It's okay, sweetie. I know God wants that, but it's okay. He understands. Does he? He doesn't just understand. He knows. And he's saying, you serve me, I bless you. You don't, I spank you. Amen. I don't want to be spanked by God. I don't. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. What a message we're listening to. I'm not talking about mine. I'm talking about this one, Joshua's dying message. We hear a certainty to remember. We hear a charge to keep. We hear a choice to make, a caution to understand. And then finally, we hear a covenant to keep. We see this in verse number 21 through 27. After the caution, they persist in their determination to serve the Lord. You can read it for yourself. After Joshua cautions them, look at verse 21. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you're witnesses against yourselves that you've chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you. Amazing, isn't it? Those gods are among them. And incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So here it is. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone, set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It should be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man into his inheritance. Boy, this is a powerful, powerful portion.
After the caution, they persist in their determination to serve the Lord. And as a result of this, in other words, Joshua says, "Are you sure, boys? This is not some mamby-pamby decision you're about to make. You're telling me that you are going to go all out for God. You're going to serve Him. You're going to fear Him. You're going to put away the gods." "Yes, that's what we're saying. Yes. You understand the consequences if you don't as His child, right?" "Yes, we understand that. We still commit ourselves." He says, "Okay, let's make a covenant." And to seal it, let's write this on a stone and set it up to remind you of it. Beautiful. Here's what's going on. Joshua made a covenant with them and set up a memorial stone, a record, if you will, of their decision that would be used to hold them accountable. Let me tell you why we get records of decisions up here. Number one, so we can follow up accurately, so they don't fall through the cracks. But secondly, so we can call people up every now and then. By the way, if you come up and do this, don't run scared. It's for your benefit. Every now and then we can call somebody up that's dropped out of church, but they rededicated their life and say, "You know, I'm holding my hand right here. Now, I've yet to do this, but I'm just giving you a warning." I'm just kidding with you, okay? "I'm holding my hand right here, a record of your decision. And I'm just wondering how you're doing with it." We need more of that. Amen. That's what Joshua's doing. The fact still remains that we ought to make a covenant with our God and set up a memorial to hold us accountable, that we will serve Him and love Him with all of our heart. Amen. Matter of fact, I'll give you one last passage of Scripture and I'm closing. Here we go. Listen to it closely. Don't turn to it. "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. And be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou art upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also divers vanities. But fear thou God." Now I'll be honest with you, having studied that passage, I have no clue what I just read. But it sounds pretty serious to me. Should you commit to God? Yes or no? Yes. Why? Because He's deserved it in your life. But if you do, you be sure and keep it. Because it's no fun when you get a spanking. You got the message? I'm still going to do it. I'm still going to commit. Then why don't you go home, set up a memorial somewhere. It could be a note in the front of your Bible saying, "On this day is when I decided to go lock, stock, and barrel for Jesus Christ." And may the Lord help us with it. Let's all bow our heads together, please, and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, I thank You for these dear people who have gotten out of their bed this morning and have braved the weather to come out and listen to Your word. I pray, Lord, that You help us to learn the lesson here. God, help us. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. When she gets prepared, she's going to begin to play through softly. Joshua's dying, and he shares a message as the Lord lays it upon his heart. And in this message today, we've heard a certainty to remember that God had been good to them. We heard a charge to obey because God had been so good to them. They ought to fear Him, serve Him without wax, and they ought to put away the gods that are in their midst. We hear a choice to make that God will not force this on them, but they must choose to serve the Lord. On top of that, we hear a caution, understand that if they choose to obey the Lord, it's a very serious thing. And God will not take it lightly.
finally we heard a covenant to keep. And that is, when you truly make that decision, you shouldn't be ashamed to put a record of it down somewhere. Whether it's in your Bible, somewhere, somehow, you ought to put it down and say, God, remind me. Help me never to forget what you've done for me. And I want to start off by saying this. Are you saved today? Has there been a time in your life when you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? Do you know the Lord? Have you prayed and asked Him to come into your heart? If you haven't, we have folks here at the Bible who'd love to take it and share with you how you can know the Lord. Please don't leave without allowing somebody to share with you from Scripture what you can do to be saved. My major thrust today, it's always souls, but my major thrust today, maybe you're a child of God and you see yourself as the nation of Israel. God's been good to you. But you notice there's idols that try to set up in your life. And you say, Jody, it may not be the idols, it might be something else. It might be that you just feel convicted because you haven't been remembering how good God's been to you. By the way, one of the most dangerous times in your life is when you're in a valley. And also when you're on a mountaintop. Because when you're in a valley, if you're not careful, you'll begin to question God. If you're on a mountaintop, if you're not careful, you'll begin to pat yourself on the back. And we need to constantly remind ourselves of the certainty. And that certainty is, it's not me, it's Him. It's the Lord. Have you say, Jody, I need this message. I believe God is speaking to me. This doesn't mean that you're sinning or out or living in idolatry. It may mean that God's just speaking to you and just reminding you about how good He's been. It may be that you're in a valley right now and you need God to remind you that He's in control. Or it may be that you're on a mountaintop and you need God to knock the feet out from under you because you've been thinking too highly of yourself. You just say, Jody, somehow, some way, this message is speaking to me. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God bless you. God bless you. That's several of you. That's several of you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, break it in a mighty way, and bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. As soon as he hits the first note, if God is speaking to you, I want to ask you to leave your place and come. If you're lost, not sure about salvation, would you leave your place? Would you come? As he sings, would you come, please, now, please.
All to Jesus
I surrender.
All to Him I freely give.
I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live.
I surrender all.
Well, I hope you mean that as you sing it.
Surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
They're playing through. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. Folks are praying, and I want to give them time. We're just about through. Again, I remind you, there's no service tonight. And I'm going to tell you what's missing in America. Too many times in my own life, and that is complete surrender, total commitment. Have you noticed how people are afraid to commit to things today? Have you noticed that? They're afraid to sign their name to something saying, I'll be there, or I will do that, or I will say that, or I will go there. They're scared to death of it. And all I'm saying today is this. Forget about all the things. There's really only one thing that you need to commit to, and it's really not a thing, it's a person. He's a person. You ought not to be ashamed or afraid to commit to following the Lord. Now, I hope my message today didn't scare anybody from making a commitment. Because you're in much worse shape not committing to the Lord than if you do and mess up every now and then. Amen. It's not that he's out to get you, but he's simply saying, if you commit to me and you turn from me, I love you too much to let you go off in that way. And I'm going to try to bring you back to myself. I'm glad it's that way, aren't you? What a message. Don't misunderstand what I said. I'm not talking about mine. I'm talking about chapter 24. What a message. I want to ask you this and we'll close. Of course, I say that so often and I never do it. Forgive me. I'll try to close. How's that? I want you to pretend that you're Joshua. Your days are numbered. You know you're dying. What would you say? Sobering thought, isn't it? What a testimony that this man could have chosen to speak in the flesh. He could have. But even on his deathbed, he decided, my mouth is surrendered to God. See, God's speaking through him. Verse 2. What a way to leave this world meeting. Amen. Why don't we just determine that we're going to give our bodies to our Lord and serve him from our heart? Because after all, he deserves it, doesn't he? That's chapter 24. It's been a great journey through Joshua, hadn't it? What a journey. We'll start another one very soon. Let's bow our heads, please. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Now, again, I remind you, no service tonight. Cantatas, 7 o'clock Wednesday night. Please get the word out. And please get on the phones this afternoon and let people know that there's no service tonight. Make people feel right at home who are sitting around you, standing around you. Please speak as you leave. If you're visiting with us for the first time, I remind you to take that visitor's card to the Welcome Center. Drop it off. Keep the pen. We've got a special gift just for you. Okay? God bless you. Very good. I'm going to ask Brother David Hayes, sir, if you don't mind to lift your voice and pray for us, please.